You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we've talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it. Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of Snakes on a Plane.
I watched the second half of Snakes on a Plane.
And this is the other half. I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on my motherfucking podcast.
Oh,
what a shame.
Like, we're not on the same page anymore.
We're just not on the same page. Well, maybe we'll be on the same page about this movie, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. This is an infamous film. I don't know how much you know about the production of it.
I remember, so here's what I know, which is probably not accurate because I'm pretty sure it's hearsay.
Mm.
But I remember this was like some meme on the internet and then people heard about it and they're like, all right, what if we just wrote a script about this? It'd be really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote a script and then they actually ended up getting it made.
This is hearsay. So
okay.
They had an idea. They pitched the whole like production. It was a PG-13 style film and then the trailers came out. And then when the trailers came out, there became memes centered around the movie before it was released. And in those memes were like, because they saw that like Samuel Jackson was going to beat it. And they're like, well, obviously he's going to say, I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on the motherfucking plane. And so it started getting so much, as far as I'm aware, so much attention from like the meme space at the time on early internet that the production company was like, maybe we'll make more money if we end up making the movie the meme people want us to make. And so they put together a bunch of money, had a 5-day reshoot where they turned the movie from a PG-13 movie to a hard R-rated movie.
Okay.
And I believe that's the story of Snakes on a Plane.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when this movie came out, I was like, oh, it seems like it'd be funny. And then I just heard it was just fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? It's just fine.
I liked it a lot.
You liked it a lot?
I loved this movie.
It's just fine. At the end.
Okay.
Up until then, I was like, this movie's actually pretty good.
I really liked the beginning of this
because
movie.
Because there's like, it's weird because it's like a parody.
Oh, yeah. It feels like Airplane.
Kind of, yeah, but it's also sincere, which is something I like.
Yeah, I kind of dig it too.
Like
Sam Jackson's kind of acting in the movie.
Yeah, he's doing a good job.
Yeah, like he still cares.
And they're very like honest about everything. It's like ridiculous shit's happening. Like every cliche in the book is happening, every single one, but they're playing it so straight that it's kind of refreshing.
I agree.
And I almost think that like, maybe at the time, I felt like there was more movies kind of like this.
Yes,
right?
That's true.
So like seeing it now, maybe we're just have like different
colored
glasses on.
Yeah, rose-tinted glasses.
Where it's like, ooh, this is a better time when movies are just like earnest. And you didn't have the Marvel wink and nod. Joss Whedon hadn't infected everyone's brain.
Yeah,
in terms of like cheekiness and insincerity. So like seeing something like this is just like, ooh, this is refreshing.
Yeah.
So it could be that.
It's probably that.
But it's fun. I had a fucking amazing
I could not stop laughing. I was really laughing at this movie.
There is some funny moments because it's just so ridiculous. These fucking CGI snakes look like shit.
It's
so bad.
They look
so
really bad.
They really were just like, who cares?
They don't care.
Make them crazy.
Yeah.
The actors will act and the CGI artists will do whatever they want.
Apparently, like they did have real snakes like on the plane.
Yeah.
And then they were shooting them like with the cameras, not with the guns. And the snakes were not moving nearly as fast as the director wanted.
I was going to say, all these snakes are in like hyper mode because they are all moving so freaking quickly. And I'm like, snakes are kind of slow for the most part, unless they're striking.
Well, it's because of all those pheromones on the lays. Pheromones. Yeah,
the lays do it.
That's the other thing I love about the movie, is how like fucking stupid they think the audience is. Like, there's one point where a guy's just spraying the lays with the pheromones, and
oh, really? It's that obvious?
And he's spraying them, and he says on the phone to the person who is orchestrating this whole thing, "Is like, yeah, I'm spraying the pheromones on the lays. Once these snakes smell them, they're gonna go fucking crazy."
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I thought it was a reveal that they were like using that.
It's all very straightforward by the beginning. Okay. I love it. Like, I love that kind of dumb bullshit. It's great. So let me tell you a little bit about the beginning of Snakes on a Plane. Mm-hmm.
What's Samuel Jackson's character's name?
Don't remember.
Neither. I'm like, it's Samuel Jackson. I didn't write those
notes
down.
They said it a couple of times. I never fucking
wrote it down.
Doesn't
matter. You're like, who cares?
That's Samuel. Because honestly, he's not acting. Like,
you said he was acting.
I take it back. He's not acting as a different person. He is acting like this is
he's acting like if actual
Samuel L. Jackson was in this situation.
Had military experience.
Yes.
And was in this situation.
If Samuel Jackson worked for the FBI, it was on a situation where there were snakes on a plane, this is exactly how I'd imagine Samuel Jackson responding to it. But like, there's moments between him and Sean, as I will bring up later on.
Sean, that guy's name. I just call him Prisoner.
Prisoner? He's not a prisoner.
Well, you're right. He felt like a prisoner.
But he did, because he was being, taken?
Escorted.
Escorted, yeah, by the FBI. Mm. Movie opens in Hawaii, and we see a motorbiker named Sean.
I said hang loose.
Hang loose.
Like Meet the Deedles.
Like I was just about to say. It was exactly like Meet the Deedles. Yeah. Sean feels like a Deedle.
Kind of does. He really feels like a Deedle. It's just like white people that get manufactured out there all kind of feel the same.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So Deedle Sean comes across an American attorney being strung up and murdered via baseball bat by the notorious Eddie Kim.
I never saw Eddie Kim
you
in my
You never saw
movie.
Eddie Kim
no,
in your half of the movie?
He never appeared. But they kept talking about
that
him.
That is insane to me. I was like,
I was waiting for him, and I'm like, is he gonna be at the end because they're gonna put him away? Nope, never shows up.
I guess Snakes on a Plane 2 is when they're gonna deal with Eddie Kim or something.
Was there a sequel to this?
I don't think there was. I mean, go ahead and look it up. I don't suspect there was. Maybe the sequel to it was like Sharknado. But yeah, Eddie Kim is a notorious mobster working out of Hawaii. And he murdered an American attorney with a baseball bat. And this is the little things I like about the movie, right? Where like he has the American attorney strung up, and he's just like, I'm gonna say hello to your child. He's not gonna have a dad. And then he's like, whoa. I didn't have a dad either. I just had a mom, and look how good I turned out. And then he just like murders the like lawyer. And I'm like, no, we're never going to see this attorney's family. Like, no. Why do we need to know that he's going to, like, he has a son? Like, none of this shit matters, but I kind of dig that the movie introduced it. Okay. So Eddie then sees Sean on the motorbike driving away. And so he puts a hit out on him. And Eddie's men show up at Sean's house, but Sean is saved at the last second by Samuel L. Jackson working for the FBI.
Nice.
And Samuel Jackson's like, why didn't you tell the cops that you saw that you saw this attorney getting murdered by Eddie Kim? And Sean's like, well, the news said that the cops were corrupt, so I didn't go to the cops. And then Sam Jackson's like, smart man. And I'm like, well, imagine the news going like,
I know.
The cops are corrupt and owned by Eddie Kim.
Yeah, that would be crazy if the news said that. Like, imagine. Hey, everyone, LAPD's owned by Emilio Perez.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about it.
What the fuck? Like, that's crazy. Yeah. So Sean
is thinking of a real mobster. I was just thinking of the last mobster.
And Emilio Perez is a perfect one.
Yep.
So Sean is brought to the FBI headquarters in Hawaii, and he is convinced to fly to LA in order to testify against Eddie Kim. So that's the plan, is he's going to get on a plane from Hawaii that Blaine in L.A. so that he can testify against Eddie Kim there. Okay?
Okay.
That's the story. So then we're introduced to all of the people on the flight. And boy, howdy. Do you know any of their names?
Nope.
None of them?
Not a single one of them.
So I'm very excited to introduce them to you. Claire. She's the dark-haired flight attendant.
Yes, I know. Okay. I do know her name. And I think I know, is it Tiffany?
You're right. Tiffany and Claire are the two flight attendants. Yes.
She's the blonde flight attendant. There's an older flight attendant. And that's kind of it. Oh,
there's Grace. And then there's the gay flight attendant.
Oh, I never saw them.
You didn't see the gay guy? His name's Ken. He's the male flight attendant.
He must die really quickly in my half.
I don't know. He didn't die in my half of the movie. But yeah, I was like, it's funny because like this is the one shitty thing about this time period. It's like, well, we have to have some gay panic, you know, a gay joke.
Oh,
it's just
so
they have Ken there. And
they don't have a gay person just be a gay person. They're just like.
It's also like they keep acting like Ken is like embarrassed of being gay, which I'm also like, I mean.
It's 2006.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't feel bad for the guy for being a little embarrassed around people who are just have immediate panic towards the fact that, like, He might have interest in men. I don't know.
That's very weird. But
anyway, so Claire period. And Tiffany. Claire you got Tiffany. Them.
We also have, I just call him Keenan. I don't know his Kenan, character's name.
Keenan, and then Clarence. The other guy.
Isn't it Clarence?
I don't know what his name is. There's Keenan and the other guy, and there's 3 G's, who is the dude that they're looking
Clarence,
after.
Clarence, yeah. 3 G's.
3 G's.
3 G's is the other larger guy, right?
He's the larger guy.
Wasn't there a larger guy?
Wait. I think Clarence is the larger guy.
No, Clarence is the little skinny guy.
Clarence is the rapper?
Yeah.
That's 3 G's.
That's 3 G's?
That's 3 G's.
Oh, maybe they call him Clarence because that's his like real name.
That's his real name. See, sense. I never heard his name as being Clarence. Yeah. Spoilers, everybody.
Well, see, when you have snakes on a plane, you become closer together and you learn to see through people's facades.
Now, there's not a lot of like character work here. Oh, but, yo. But it is nice that we do have a little bit to work with, you know?
There's character work here, aka very much stereotypes. Not stereotypes as much as
it
like...
It feels like Airplane, right? It's like, archetypes. This is this person. This is like, there's a married couple, a newlywed couple, and the man is afraid of flying.
There's
like,
a lady who has a dog.
There's a lady, that's Mercedes. Uh-huh. There's a lady who has a baby. Like, uh-huh. You know, it's like, these are the archetypes that we're going to follow.
Yeah.
So can you differentiate, other than hair color, can you tell me anything about Tiffany and Claire?
Claire seems more experienced and yes. Seems to be in charge uh-huh. of the
she
flight
She seems to have
attendants.
A little bit more seniority, even yeah. though Grace is clearly older than her.
Grace is clearly older than her, but she's out the door.
Yeah. Wait, yeah. Claire's out the door?
No,
Grace
is out
the
Grace
door?
Grace is the older one, right?
Oh, I mean, Claire is actually out the door because this is her last flight. And then she's going to become a lawyer.
Oh, well, Grace is out the door because she's just retiring.
Oh, I thought she was dying.
Well, she's retiring in a movie
life.
With a horror
yeah, exactly.
element and a disaster
Did
happening.
Did you recognize
so.
Grace?
I only saw her for a second.
Oh, she was the old lady in Insidious, the psychic in Insidious.
I've never seen Insidious.
Oh, my God, I'm going to make you watch Insidious some of these
I
days.
I guess so.
She's
is that,
great.
Is that the Conjuring? Is that like The Conjuring?
It's James Wan directed at Baltimore.
Oh, that's yeah. weird because I always mashed them together. And I never knew why.
That's because they're both directed by the same people.
That makes sense.
Yeah, she's great. I like Grace. Tiffany's blonde. She has a weird infatuation with Sean.
Okay.
Then you've got 3 G's. He is apparently named Clarence, and he is like a germaphobe.
Sure.
But it's also like it's funny because like he's a germaphobe on a plane, and like every time they try to like. Make him look like a germaphobe, like everyone makes fun of him, and I'm looking at him like that's just like common decent like a thing to do when you're on a public airplane, you know, it's like wash your hands.
Example. Oh, he just washes his hands.
He has hand sanitizer in his pocket and then he doesn't like when people sneeze on their hands and then wipe their boogers off on their like pants, and I'm like all this feels like
this
a legitimate
like
thing to not
like. Not
like
yeah, also we're post-pandemic.
That's exactly the thing, is like in post-pandemic 3 G's would be the
that's
best.
The thing, kids, anyone yeah. out there who's a little kid listening to this for some reason and you weren't alive pre-pandemic, people were even grosser.
It's true. It's very true.
And we just accepted it. We were like, sneeze into my mouth.
Yeah, let's do it. That's how you would. That's how you get on airplanes.
Yeah, you greet each other by sneezing each other in the mouth because it builds immunity. We thought it built immunity.
Yeah, exactly.
And then as you get on an airplane where you share the same air,
we all want to be in the immune in the same mouth.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So this is also another good example of early 2006, early 2000s representation of people. So 3 G's is walking around the airplane or airport before he gets on the airplane. He's walking around the airport. A bunch of ladies come up to sign to get autographs from him. And so there's all these like young ladies. He like signs one lady's boob, but he signs her like paint her shirt. Like, and I'm like, usually you sign like the boob, not like the shirt. But
wait, you just signed the shirt on the boob part though.
He did sign. Well, no, sometimes you're just signing the cleavage.
Oh, you like you gotta take that bullshit. Did you have a t-shirt on?
No, she had like a low top. Like,
oh,
yeah. So he just signs like yeah, and I'm like that feels like
well
maybe the here's
to be
the
honest
thing.
That's the real way to do it because that way you get a keepsake.
Well, I think a lot of times people will like take the signature and then go and get a tattoo.
Oh, I never knew that.
Some people do that.
Oh, that's yeah. wild.
I agree with you. And also, it's probably the actor didn't want this to have someone sign her cleavage.
Yeah, that's
I'm
fair.
Like, good for her. But then a young boy comes up. A little boy comes
uh-huh.
up.
He's like, also sign my cleavage.
Well, he gets a little signature, and then 3G says,
"Hey, yo, stay black."
Hell yeah.
Why do you imagine a little white boy? Imagine yourself, Ethan.
I would say that. I would respond. How else are you supposed to respond to that, though?
Will do.
No.
No.
That's too white, dude.
True,
you can't say that.
True.
I would probably say that now.
So what else? Other Grace and Ken. Mercedes is a blonde lady. She has a dog named Mary Kate.
cute.
Okay. They're newlyweds. The husband is scared of flying. He offers Xanax to Mary Kate the dog. And Mercedes is like, no, he doesn't need it. Sean and Sam Jackson board the flight and they take over all of first class. Now they're boarding a normal flight.
Wait, so the lady with the dog has a husband?
What?
The lady with the dog has a husband.
No.
Oh, okay. It's a different
person. So that the husband of in the newlyweds offers the lady with the dog.
Gotcha.
Thank
okay,
you for asking these questions.
I just want to clarify.
I want to make sure that all of the clarifications
I need
important.
To know because I'm trying to piece together what these people's relationships are.
Mercedes
the shit hits
the and 3Gs are infatuated with each other.
Okay.
Okay? There's that. That's important, I think. Is it?
Not really. Okay. I would have never known.
That's fine. What else? Okay, so the reason that Sam Jackson and Sean are on this, like, normal passenger plane is because they don't want, what's his name again? Eddie Kim. Eddie Kim to, like, hurt Sean.
Right.
And so they have, like, a false FBI plane that's going to be flying with nobody on it. And then they're getting on, like, a normal passenger plane. But Eddie Kim has men everywhere. And
he knows.
Yeah, he knows everything. And so the men...
He bought the cops.
He bought everybody. He bought the cops. Everyone's corrupt in Hawaii. And so, because he knows men that work on the tarmac. He knows all the people who are loading, like, the passenger planes. And so there's a guy, like I said, loading the snake and spraying the Lays with snake pheromones that are given to the passengers.
Is there a reason why he picks snakes? He's just like, I love
no
snakes.
No explanation.
He's just like, that seems like
given.
A cool way to do it.
I think he's sort of just going like, what's going to cause the most amount of chaos in the air? And honestly, snakes is a pretty good choice.
Yeah, and it...
Because
and,
also,
yeah.
you can keep them hidden for a very long
it's
time.
True.
Because you want to make sure nobody sees them until they get to a certain like elevation, essentially.
Yeah, high altitude, yeah. That makes sense.
Yes.
Sure. He's a smart guy, Eddie Kim.
Eddie Kim
I always trusted
just,
him.
Yeah, no.
Well, in terms of his ideas, not of
his morals,
no.
are not trustworthy.
No.
We're introduced to Rick, who's a co-pilot. He's a creep, and he creeps on the flight attendants.
Yeah, that's his character.
That is just what he played
that's
back
just
then.
Just him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like one character says, like, why is this plane so empty? And the other character's like, it's because it's a red eye. Nobody wanted to take this flight. But also, this flight was delayed by like 3 or 4 hours. And it's like,
so
it
no longer became a red eye.
This was not originally a red eye. Like, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just, it's funny that the movie's like bringing up what might be considered a logical inconsistency, but it wasn't.
So also, I feel like this is a double-decker plane.
Yes, it is a double-decker plane. I've never been on
I've never been on
plane.
One either. Never. The movies made it seem like they're so common.
Yeah.
Like that and Soul Plane. Like they made me all think that there were two there were double-decker planes everywhere.
Oh, Ethan. Let me name two movies that establish that double-decker planes are normal. Snakes on a Plane and Soul Plane. Some of the best representations of air travel.
I couldn't think of other air travel movies off the top of my head. I was just thinking Soul Plane had a really
93.
Cool... That wasn't a double-decker.
No, it wasn't. But it's much more reasonable.
Like, but that's what I'm saying. These other movies made me think that there were double-deckers all the time.
These fucking fictional movies that are like...
Do they exist? Do these planes even exist?
And they had to have existed, but I think they existed like back in the 60s and shit when you could smoke on planes. Like, I don't
Why
think...
did they stop making them?
Because, I don't know, honestly.
You can fit more people in them.
You can, but...
It just seems more economical.
It seems economical. It also seems economical in a way where it's like you could probably load more like first-class people on there so people are, you know, get more money off of them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's more people.
Look them up.
I figured out why are there more double-decker planes?
I don't know. So first class are all put in coach, and there's this snooty passenger, this British guy with hair plugs, and he's just like, I'm not going to make it to my meeting on time. And they're like, coach makes it there at exactly the same time that first class gets there. Like, it's all the same plane.
Yeah.
Mercedes is also like, is it safe in coach? So it's like, it goes to show her, you know,
privilege.
Like her privilege. Mm-hmm. But also, it's a fair question because it's not safe in coach because that's where the snakes are.
They know nothing.
Sam Jackson says his partner is the toughest son of a bitch he ever met, except for one thing, his partner, which you never meet because he dies because his partner is afraid of snakes.
Oh, no.
The one thing he's afraid of, he apparently has.
Damn, just like Indiana Jones.
Exactly. And he ends up getting a heart attack later in the movie because he has a panic attack. When snakes appear and he just goes like, and then he dies.
Whoa, yeah. Damn. That's a sad way to go.
What else? Harris is working behind the desk at the FBI. He's played by some dude.
Yeah, he's got a face.
He's the guy. He's been in a lot of things. But his name is Harris and he's bored and he misses working in the field.
He's boring too.
Yeah, this actor has been working for so long.
This sideline is probably my least favorite.
The FBI guy?
It kind of turns into a whole thing.
Oh, it does? And that's a real shame.
Yeah.
He is also monitoring Eddie's whereabouts, and he's also bidding on eBay, which is very funny. Like,
man,
very
remember
funny.
When eBay was a joke? Like, they put it in Finding Nemo. They're like, ah, I got the starfish. I'm from eBay. They're all mentioning where they came from.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And eBay was like, oh my gosh, you can buy things online. Mm-hmm. Now eBay's still there being like, we're the only place you can buy from other people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, instead of corporations.
Please keep coming to us.
Yeah.
We cut to Eddie Kim. He is in Hollywood. And you can tell he's in Hollywood because you can see out the window the Hollywood sign.
Oh, shit.
And his men are like, why did we put snakes on that plane? I don't think that was a very good idea. And he's just like, I had to do it because I understand that it seems like a very crazy concept, but somebody saw my face and I needed to make sure that they die. And he's like, don't worry, I'm sure it won't be that big of a deal. And then they hard cut and you see like a new mom bringing a baby onto the plane that's going to be full of snakes, which is to show that like Eddie Kim is in fact a monster.
He's crazy, dude.
And the kid has a little rattle, which I think is probably going to come into play later.
That's
with
cute.
All right.
But it's just a cute reference to be a rattlesnake. I think it's for you.
It's just for me. Mercedes takes a photo of her dog on her old shitty phone, which is very funny.
Oh, God. The old shitty phones in this are great.
She does like a selfie.
That comes into play later.
There you go. Oh. She takes like a selfie with it. And it's like very funny because back in the day, as everyone here knows, you could not take selfies with a phone where you're looking at the screen. You had to turn the phone around and take a photo and just pray and hope.
Well, no, some of them, I remember
one
of my old flip phones had like a little screen on the back.
Mm.
It was a very, very shitty screen, but it was just enough so you could frame yourself.
I see. Well, there you go. This phone did not have that.
Okay. She's just, you know, blind shooting.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Her and 3G's flirt. He is grossed out by a man on the plane.
Why?
Because the guy sneezes in his hands. Okay. Then we see Taylor Kitsch.
Wow, he's in this movie?
He is in this movie.
You're not in for long.
No, he is not. Him and some blonde lady are making out on the plane.
Nice.
I don't know why they don't seem like newlyweds. I think they're just very
horny
for each other.
Sure.
And it is Taylor Kitsch. I looked it up. He, I think, says two words in the movie. He's barely in it.
Wow. Yeah, this is before he was in like anything, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah. Was this before Friday Night Lights? Is that what he was?
I think so.
Known for?
I think it might be in the same time when they just started.
We see two brothers, their children. They're unaccompanied minors on the plane. They are on the plane for the first time.
Yeah, it came out like 2006 is when it started. So
there you go. So yeah, he's probably shooting this before working on Friday Night Lights. Probably
yeah.
So yeah, there's two kids, two children, unaccompanied minors. They're excited to meet 3Gs. Tiffany gets all dolled up for Sean, and she's just like, so what do the FBI want with you? And I'm like, it's weird that she's talking to him. And so I'm like, is she working for Eddie Kim? I'm like, I don't know about this Tiffany lady, you know, maybe she's working for Eddie Kim. I don't know. What happened next? There's a kickboxer on
but
the
why
flights.
Would they put someone, why would Eddie Kim put like a normal person, what works for him, on a plane full of snakes are obviously going to kill everyone.
That's a very fair question. Because this movie's dumb.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a kickboxer.
Is it though?
Maybe it isn't. Maybe
it's dumb.
Genius.
But
is but it
it's that not
dumb?
That, it's not that dumb. It's dumb, but it's not like stupid.
Yes, I'll give it that. I'll give it that. There's a kickboxer on the flight. We never learn his name. Do you ever meet this kickboxer?
Nope.
So he's there.
Kicks the bucket is all he does.
Oh, boy. Ken kind of flirts with him. And the kickboxer is like weird about it. And I'm like, whatever, dude. Sam Jackson and Sean, who's drawing, he's drawing like surfing on a piece of paper. They talk about going to Maui together and how Sam Jackson's like,
Maui?
Maui?
You said Maui.
Maui? Maui?
Maui?
Maui?
Just want to make sure.
He's, Sam Jackson's like, yeah, I can't swim. So I just hung out on the beach and looked at all the beauty. Like all the beautiful ladies.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about like how beautiful the ocean is.
No, he's all about those ladies. Even though I never see him.
I feel like he's the least horny guy I've ever seen. He's all business.
Just like him and Claire have got something
going
on.
Yeah, that's fair. But but it's not like gross horny like you'd expect in 2006.
That is true. Yeah, no.
Very respectful.
We see this scene where Jackson goes down and talks to Claire, and Claire's just like, you know, the next time that you people want to do something.
Whoa.
Well, that's the thing. Is he says, you people? And Claire's like, I meant like the FBI. Like, because she's like,
oh, yeah,
because he works for the FBI. And she's like, the next time you people should focus, should like give us a heads up next time that you're going to like do this sort of thing. And he says, you people. And she's just like, I'm at the FBI. And he's like, hey, it's all good, man.
It's all good, man. I'm just fucking with
you. A hard time. It's great. Then snakes are released via a timed detonator and they eat a damn cat. And I'm like, that's sad.
Damn.
It's sad to see a cat get eaten.
Yeah, because it's left in the cargo hold, huh?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So here is when the fun begins.
Finally.
You ready for this? So Taylor Kitsch and the blonde lady, they want to join the Mile High Club.
I don't know. You could do that by yourself.
You could do that by yourself. They're going to do it together.
Yeah.
And so they go into the bathroom together. And at first, and this is the funny thing, is I could tell that originally they were probably just going to do it in PG-13. They were probably just going to have them smoke in there. So they open up the smoke detector on the top, which I'm like, you wouldn't leave that in the bathroom. Like, I don't know. It's weird. So they undo the smoke detector in the bathroom to smoke. And then they start getting undressed and getting ready to fuck. And you see her boobs.
That's so funny. They're like, all right, actors, you got to come back. You got to show boobs.
Yes, exactly. And that's exactly what they're doing. So she takes her top off and then the snakes attack. And one of the snakes bites her nipple.
It bites her boob?
Bites her boob. Oh, man. Every stupid thing that you could imagine a snake
does. That's the thing
does,
that's kind of great about this movie, is it kind of commits to the bit.
It really does. And so the snakes start attacking them, and they're freaking out and screaming, and you hear them hitting the walls and hitting the door. And then the camera pans out from outside of the bathroom, and you see Grace and Ken, and they're standing outside of the bathroom hearing all this commotion going on in the bathroom, okay? And they say,
Mile High Club.
Oh, those were the days.
Oh, this guy is really good. Well, maybe not that good.
And that's what I'm talking. That's the kind of shit that this movie is doing, baby.
Yeah, just dumb little banter between people.
Yep. And so then the snakes start ripping out wiring in the plane. One guy goes to the bathroom to take a piss. He zips his pants. He goes, "How's my big boy?" Never in my life have I ever gone to the bathroom, taken my dick out, "How's my big boy?"
Well, there's people name their penises and stuff.
Not me. No,
that's part of me, brother. It's not a different thing. It's me. I'm not gonna fucking call you Big Charles or something like that.
Big Charles. I don't want to be thinking of another man's name when I'm looking at my dick.
Exactly. Thank you. But this guy apparently was all about it.
How's my big boy doing down there?
Also makes it sound like a kid too.
It does,
big boy.
It?
Ugh.
I don't like it. Or Bob's big boy. And so he unzips his pants. He pulls his dick out. And as he's pissing, a snake comes out of the bathroom, launches, and grabs onto his cock. And then he says, "Fucking bitch, get off my dick!"
All right, this is pretty good. This is so stupid.
Rocks. He's just flailing around with a snake in his dick. Shit is the best. A snake slides up a sleeping lady's dress, and she starts moaning.
What the fuck? Okay, this is insane.
It's awesome. Then turbulence starts coming in. It gets even worse. And the captain is like, this bar was hysterical.
Wait, I'm just still shocked about that lady. Just this is a great time. She's asleep.
Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry.
You just said a lady just sitting there like a snake comes up. She's like, oh, fuck yeah, finally. Finally. The rabbit ain't doing it, but the snake's going to get me to completion, baby.
She was sleeping. Okay. She was sleeping, and then as she was sleeping, I think she started to have sexy dreams because the snake is...
That makes somehow more sense.
I was this is pretty scary, but also...
kind of sexy.
Yeah. So turbulence is getting worse, and I guess because earlier the snakes are ripping the wiring out, the captain is like, I'm going to go reset the breakers because I think the power went out. Now, I looked this up. That is a thing that you can do inside of a plane is reset the breakers.
Sure.
Because it sounded fucking stupid.
Well, I mean, they're pretty big. They have fuses. I mean, cars have fuses, so...
It's true. Yeah, it's just very funny to imagine, got to go flip the breakers.
Blue fuse. Yeah, exactly. The fucking thing. Yeah.
So he goes down, he gets bit by a snake, and immediately has a heart attack and dies. And now the creepy co-pilot, Rick, is the one that is piloting the plane. FBI agents are brought to check on the captain. Yep, he's dead. And then they're like, well, why don't we just turn around and go back? And Rick's like, it's going to take us longer to turn around and get to Honolulu than it's going to take for us to get to LA.
Yeah, so they had to do the timer thing because they had to make sure really far up there.
Exactly.
in the middle.
So Rick sees the snake on the control panel and he swats at it. And when he swats at it, he accidentally hits a button, which causes the breathing masks to drop from the top. And along with the breathing mask comes a bunch of fucking snakes.
Nice.
That shit. It was so fucking funny. Just imagining reading a Crichton novel on the plane, and then all of a sudden just a bunch of fucking snakes just land on your ass, and you're just like, ah!
It's pretty good.
Shit rocks. So, yeah. Oh my god. And then, okay. So, this lady, obviously there's snakes everywhere. The turbulence is awful. This lady goes and pulls out a vomit bag, opens the vomit bag to throw up, and as she is about to throw up, a snake jumps out of the bag down her throat.
Down her throat?
And like bites onto her tongue.
Oh, okay.
She like she dies from that.
Yeah.
Shit is amazing.
It's ridiculous. Shit it's like is it's, they pop off everywhere. There's snakes everywhere.
Mary Kate, the dog, runs to the back of the plane. Mercedes goes to pick her up, but the turbulence. So Mercedes picks up Mary Kate and puts it in her arms, puts the dog in her arms, and the turbulence sends Mercedes flying back. Her back hits the back wall of one of the plane, and then she just fucking lands on the dog.
Is the dog dead?
The dog is fine. Oh, okay. But it's so I was like, that dog is dead. She fucking put her entire body weight
Mary
on the
Kate's
dog.
Strong.
Mary Kate will last. The youngest unaccompanied minor is bit on the hand, and the oldest brother is like, I was supposed to take care of him. A guy is trampled as all the people are like running up the hallway to get to the front of the plane. And this one guy is just like on the ground, and I'm like, oh man, this is pretty bad. He's just like getting run over. And this one lady with heels just steps on his head, and the heel goes into his fucking skull, and blood just pours everywhere. I'm like, that guy didn't even get killed by a fucking snake.
That sucks. You just get killed by humans.
Yeah. And so then, what happened next? 3 G's. This part is great. 3 G's, who's already like afraid of everything because, you know, he's afraid of,
I'm trying to think if 3G existed back when this guy was called. I don't think 3G existed.
Like oh,
the phone? No, I don't think it was because they're using flip phones.
Yeah,
this is a pioneer.
What do you think he stood for? 3 G's, girls,
3 grand,
gats. Oh, three.
3 grand.
Yeah, you're
that's
right.
Actually not that much.
Yeah, it's not that much. So it was like it's girls, gats, and
ganja.
That's exactly what it is. So so he's like, he pushes an old lady. He's like, get out of my way, grandma. Pushes an old lady aside. And he like bursts. He like opens up the bathroom to like hide in there. And then the Mile High Club couple come and just land on him.
Oh, yeah, because they're dead.
And he's just like, ah! Mom with the baby is knocked unconscious. This one part's awesome. Ken, the male flight attendant, grabs the snake and puts the snake in the microwave and closes the microwave, and he pushes the snake button on the microwave.
There's a
snake button on the microwave. So he presses the snake button, presses start, and then he says, yeah! Who's your daddy now, bitch? Snake explodes.
What the hell? That's a cool way to die.
Shit rocks. What if 4 Jesus men is bit on the ass? I think it's the bigger dude that's not Keenan.
Yeah.
Gets bit on the ass. And then he goes, no! Get this fucking snake off my ass! Oh, stop! Got a snake on your ass! Your whole thing! Shit's the best.
That's pretty
good. So Sam Jackson suggests, he's like, let's build a barrier between us and the snakes using the overhead compartment material. So snake creeps towards Mercedes, and Mercedes is like, oh, it's a snake. And then luckily the kickboxer shows up out of nowhere and saves her ass.
Like a kickboxer should.
Like a kickboxer. I still don't know this man's name. I don't think they gave him one. Grace saves a mother's baby, the baby with the rattle, from a snake, but she is bit. Jackson's partner dies because he was so afraid of snakes.
Okay.
Sam Jackson's partner dies, but his last words are good luck.
But wait, isn't he the pilot?
No. Wait.
You said the pilot died.
Both of them have died from heart attacks.
For being scared of snakes.
No, the pilot was not afraid of snakes. He got bit by a snake
and then had a weak heart. Got it.
Thank you for asking. They're like, is there a doctor on board? And they look and they check to see if the doctor is on board, and the doctor is dead.
Okay.
So there's only one doctor and he's dead. FBI Harris. Oh, yeah, right. The guy that's from the FBI is told about the snakes being on board.
How'd he get a call? Well, they have a plane.
They have a phone. And so Harris downstairs or down on Earth is like, we got to get a poisonous snake expert, which snakes aren't poisonous. They're venomous.
Ooh. So, how'd you know that?
Because there's a difference between poison and venom. Poison is ingested. Venom is injected.
I didn't know that. I thought you might have learned that from this movie.
Mm-mm.
No, you didn't learn anything from this movie, did you?
I don't think they knew anything about this.
Okay.
So Ken offers to suck the poison out of the 3G man's ass. And of course, because he's gay, he's just like, don't go anywhere near my ass, homeboy.
Got it.
Then the new mom with the baby, she sees the little kid who also got bit. And she's like, I know how to solve this. She's like, does anyone have olive oil?
And then it comes to my half where I'm like, what? This kid's got some nasty shit on his arm. What's going on?
Yeah.
So stuff's going on. Stuff's popping off. It's going crazy. The snakes are obviously already here. So I just see this lady.
I also appreciate you just mentioning how shitty the snakes look.
Oh, they look terrible.
They look really fucking bad.
I love it.
Yeah,
I do too. It gives them the power to do anything they want.
Yeah, I agree.
They just look like shit. They look shit, but not as shit as like other it's not like monster Sharknado. Movies back there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Sharknado or something like that. Yeah. So she's like, I need olive oil for a snake bite. And this kid has a massive wound. So she like cuts the wound open, lets all the pus fall out. It's really gross.
It is.
And then she swishes olive oil in her mouth. And then she like puts her mouth on the wound and then like spits into it.
Mm.
And she's like, you're going to be fine. I was like, really?
How?
I don't know. But then Keenan's like, I got a bite somewhere.
Oh, my God.
She's sexy.
Because she's sexy.
She's a sexy lady.
Yeah.
This place has a ton of snakes on it, I wrote. I think you should just write, read exactly what I wrote, which is some weird shit.
Yeah.
Because it's me reacting to a lot of stuff.
Oh, of course,
funny.
Of course.
I think it's funny anyway. You, the audience,
I just
can
laughed at it.
That was a pity laugh. Well, that was a pity laugh, Mike. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. A courtesy laugh? You're like,
No, that was a boisterous. Oh,
okay. It was a boisterous laugh, sure. You don't fake those.
I would never. No, never.
You're not faking on me, right?
I never do.
I know we're talking about the Mile High Club here, but it's got to be pretty good.
Imagine faking the Mile High Club. In your imagination. It's just like jerk it off and then faking that you're coming to yourself. For those of you who don't know, Ethan thought the Mile High Club was jerking off in a plane.
That was an old episode. I don't even remember what episode
it was.
It was
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah. There you go. Listen to that one.
Yeah. We were talking about the Mile High Club, and Ethan thought the Mile High Club was jerking off in an airplane. And I'm like, why would anyone be proud of that? So imagining that you are faking for yourself. It's going like, oh, yeah, I'm all done.
I'm all done. Just kidding. Anyway, the prisoner arguing with Sam Jackson. I had no idea what this thing was. He won't listen.
Why won't he listen?
He wants to help, but Sam Jackson's like, no, you got to stay here because you got to testify against Eddie Kim. You're the reason we're doing this. And then he sprays the CGI snakes with like a fire extinguisher. They're like, do you have any knives or anything we can use? And they're like, no, all we have is sporks.
Uh-huh.
Sporks are funny. I felt like that was a joke that would have landed like back when sporks were like new and novel. But I feel like sporks...
When were sporks new and novel?
I felt like they
like
were...
Like the 80s, 70s?
Were they that old?
Dude, they're fucking old.
Really?
I'm going to look up when the spork was invented.
Sporks gotta be old. You're probably right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why it'd be like the 90s.
The most amazing invention from the 90s.
Spork. So they're like, well, okay, well, we have a weapon. We can make a shiv out of this broken bottle. And I think Claire does it. Breaks the bottle.
My lord. It's even older than I thought.
Wow. 50s? Feels like some 50s future shit.
The U.S. patent for sporks and proto-sporks was issued to Samuel L. or
Jackson?
Samuel W. Francis.
Oh.
Don't say it like Samuel L. Jackson. In 1874.
1874?
Is
she must have made out of wood.
Originally, it was their old, dude. Look at these fucking
grandma
sporks.
Was like, I got a spork here.
They look old. I think they're made of metal.
That one on the left barely looks like a spork. That's just a fucking like pokey. That's just a shitty made spoon.
But yeah, they're old. Sporks are old.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They were not a 90s invention, unless it was the 1890s.
Yeah, you're right. All right, anyway. So on the ground, the FBI agent's looking for a snake specialist. They find Dr. Price. He's a little goofy guy, but he's also pretty serious. So he seems goofy, and he's just like, I'm going to be very serious, but I'm eccentric because I'm a scientist.
Right.
And he's like, so everyone
have
up there.
He YouTube channel now.
Yeah.
He
really,
or a TikTok.
He does have that vibe.
He'd have a TikTok presence.
And he's like, oh, yeah, the ER from L.A., like, when they land here, you're going to have to get, like, a bunch of snake, like, anti-venom because, like...
Yeah.
LAER can like handle some snake bites, sure, but it can't handle like a plane full of people being bit by snakes. It's not really what it's meant for. So we got to alert everyone in the Tri-County area. And I was like, what is the Tri-County area for LA?
I don't know.
It's like LA? I looked it up. It's like Santa Monica and just like other counties that I thought were all in LA. So I was like, oh.
LA's relatively small.
Yeah, it's definitely a very small area.
Yeah.
Very tiny. Anyway. Dr. Price calls, I wrote Mr. Jackson. It's a proper name.
Love it. Mr. Jackson's my father.
And he's like, you know, snakes don't attack unless they're provoked. He's like, no shit, dude. Something up here is making them crazy. They're attacking those Lays, especially when those Lays are around.
Yeah.
He's like, well, it must be like a pheromone or a drug. He's like, oh, that's good news. Snakes on crack.
Oh, no. You know. Also, a pheromone is not crack.
I know, but it makes them like crazy.
Yeah, just like collect all the Lays, put them in a different part of the plane. Like,
well, they're all probably stewing all over the dead people who got hit by the snakes.
Yeah, but as long as the people who don't want to get attacked by the snakes aren't wearing Lays, they'll be fine, right?
I mean, I suppose that's true, but also, aren't they in the cargo hold too?
The snakes or the
Lays?
Lays
like the
yeah, but
the
they'll just stay in the cargo hold if that's where the Lays are.
But
right?
It'll be crazy, and then they'll leave and they'll go attack stuff.
Oh, you think that's what's gonna happen?
I mean that makes sense to me. And also the air circulating a lot in a
so the other pheromones, it's too late at
it's kinda
this
everywhere.
Point.
Kinda fucked.
Yeah, that's fair.
Um,
you're right, this movie is
flawless.
Flawless.
Yeah, why am I How would you even question this
it's
movie?
It's dumb, but it's not stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that phrase. That's a good phrase.
That describes some of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
So then Dr. Price is like, hey, just let you know, if you administer the wrong anti-venom, you'll die. So you have to like identify what snakes are being out there. He's like, there's a bunch out
there's
here.
There's a ton of them.
He says, the only thing I could probably figure out is like a cobra and a rattlesnake. He's like, all right.
What kind of a cobra? What kind of a rattlesnake?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'll get you all a bunch of dead ones. I'll round them up and I'll describe them to you and we'll figure that out. So at this point, everyone's storming the upper part of the plane. At this point, I think the upper plane was reserved just for FBI, it felt like.
The upper part of the plane was just for first class, but then it was only for the FBI.
Right, because they bought it all out.
Exactly.
Okay. So then they storm up the first class section to demand answers. They're like, what's going on here? Why are we being kept down there? And they're like, okay, listen. Snakes are on the plane because this guy is supposed to testify tomorrow because I got to testify against Eddie Kim.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Eddie Kim, we're all screwed. And I'm like, everyone knows who Eddie Kim is?
Everyone. Eddie Kim is the most corrupt mafioso.
I guess he's on the
Hawaii.
News, right?
Yeah,
they're like, he
they
bought
say.
Everyone off.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson says, they say, we're all screwed. And he says, not me. I deal with stuff like this all the time. If you want to survive, you can help me. And bring me some dead snakes. I guess so.
I like how he's just acting like he's like, yeah.
This is fine.
This is like the third time I've been on
a
plane with snakes.
He might have been faking it for everyone else.
Oh, of course he is. Of course he is.
And he's like, all right, everyone's like, okay, I guess we'll get dead snakes, except for like the snooty newlyweds who they're older, right? The newlyweds are older?
No, they're not old.
Oh, there's like an older, who's this old dude? There's like one old dude.
Is he the guy with hair plugs? He's British?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's just an old snooty dude, yeah.
He's the one who's most upset about everything.
Of course, he's upset about everything.
Sure. So the prisoner wants to help, but he's like, no, you can't. You got to stay here. And then we're looking at the pilot. And oh no, a big snake grabs the pilot and drags him into like, under whatever the plane cockpit is.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's no one flying the plane.
Oh no.
And so then we cut back to Samuel Jackson. He's trying to describe the dead snake to Dr. Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's like, this is ridiculous. Let's just send him a picture because you're really not having a good job trying to explain, like, this thing is green.
Right.
It's more of a turquoise. and he says, oh, yeah. And the British person's like, let's stop by the 1 hour photo on the way home.
Oh, that's how they're going to do it.
Then someone's like, oh, no, stupid. We could use email. We can get a computer and a digital camera. That's all we need. And then. That lady's
phone.
Like,
Mercedes
no, you
phone.
Can do it all on this.
And that phone photos look fucking awful. The only thing you're going to be able to identify is that it's a snake.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
But okay.
And also, how does she have service up here?
That's a great question, too.
Because that shit
she should have that be in airplane mode.
Yeah, honestly. And like,
but maybe in 2006, that wasn't a thing that like was
well
known,
you still wouldn't
known,
have
right?
service. It's too high up in the altitude.
That's true. That's
like,
true.
You're flying over
well,
the ocean.
Rich, you know, maybe she's got that like,
satellite
special
or
service.
Something.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. Clara's like, hey, I'm gonna go check out the pilot because everything's kind of being weird. And they know, I love how this movie shows that like the flying is weird because they have a soda can like rolling around on the ground.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's not flying straight. So she goes and she finds, she's like, where's the pilot? And then she like looks down where the pilot fell in and the snake just jump scares.
Oh, no,
I got jump scared.
You got jump scared. This movie scared you.
Jump scared me. There's a lot of fucking snake jump scares in this movie.
And you got scared every time.
I jumped every time.
Yeah. So you gave this movie at least like three pumpkins. The pumpkin rating.
Absolutely.
Pretty high.
Like three snake heads.
Yeah.
For sure. All three snake heads scared the shit out of me. So they showed that the plane's going like left and right. It's going crazy. It's the soda can stuff's going on.
Soda can's going crazy.
The attendant actually, like Sam Jackson, like she's taking a while, so he goes up to like meet her, and she's actually in the process of killing the snake.
Whoa,
she,
what a
she
badass!
He's like, all right, let's go help pull this plane up.
Mm-hmm.
The prisoner guy helps the blonde flight attendant Tiffany by getting some passengers out of the bottom area of the snake.
Mm-hmm. The bottom area of the snake.
Yeah, the bottom. They all try to get people as they start going upstairs because the snakes are now breaking through the barrier.
Got it.
The barrier's broken. Some dude actually like due to the turbulence, the barrier broke because all the stuff flew off. And,
got it. Okay.
Because basically the plane's doing a nosedive.
Right.
And some dude gets fucking nailed by a bar cart, gets like pinned against the wall, and a bunch of snakes start coming and biting him, and someone starts spitting poison at him. And I'm like, this looks lame as shit.
It looks lame.
But it's very funny.
Yeah.
And you see the first real snake. I feel like this is the first real snake I saw.
Yeah, there's the only like a handful of real snake
there's
shots.
There's one
in the movie,
big real snake. You see him up, and he's like in kind of the, I don't know, maybe like the fluorescent light tubes, it feels like. He's sitting there. Big fucker. And then it just, because of turbulence, it's heavy, and he breaks and lands on the floor of everyone. Now he turns into a CGI monster and has like crazy eyes. It's very weird. Oh. And everyone starts freaking out. Like, oh, we got to get up the stairs to the second floor. But everyone... This part made me laugh out loud so hard. Everyone's like, oh shit. They start going upstairs. And for some reason, they are rushing too hard that the banister on the stairs breaks open and a whole bunch of them just fall off the stairs and know where the snake is. And I just am like, what is going on? And a lot of people get impaled.
Oh my God.
Because they fell on the like the broken banister.
Fucking idiot.
I was like, oh my God. And then the snake, you see the snake in heat vision mode. And
yes, snake vision.
The snake vision.
Yeah.
And the, I wrote old evil dude. I think it was a British dude. Mm-hmm. He just sees the snake coming at him and he grabs the dog and throws it at the snake. And
what?
The snake just immediately grabs and kills the dog.
Oh my God. No, not Mary Kate.
And then the lady's like, no, how dare you? How dare you? He's like, you would have done the same, all of you.
No, he wouldn't.
You would have done the same. And then the anaconda sneaks up on him and grabs him and then fucking like.
Kills him.
Like, squeezes him, and then just starts to devour him whole from the top. It's very funny and very goofy looking.
That's awesome.
So the whole time they're just trying
to... there's snakes on this plane this big?
Yeah, it's like an anaconda type style. So this whole time, Claire and Sam Jackson are just trying to pull up as hard as they can all these controls, and I'm like, is that really going to make a...
difference at this point?
Like, why they make it seem like it's so hard. I'm like, is this shit like manual, or is there like no
button to press to go like, let's just straighten the plane out,
or like, or even just like the you know how like power steering exists, right?
Yeah,
is there no power like moving for the plane things? I feel like there should be.
It's 2006, man.
There had to have been. That's just been in for a while.
No, man, sporks have just been invented.
Sporks
it was a different
time. It's a different time, you're right.
Yeah.
So the surfer chill, the prisoner guy, Sean, whatever. He doesn't have a name I have.
That's okay, sure.
Sean gets a lifeboat, and he's like, I have a good idea. Let's go to a lifeboat. And they use the lifeboat, and they inflate it, and they block kind of the hole.
Oh, that's really clever.
The hole to the bottom, so they get a little bit of time to like, be safe. And then they get the plane kind of leveled, and fucking Rick climbs out of the hole. The pilot.
Rick?
The pilot.
Oh, the pilot.
The pilot.
Yeah, the co-pilot.
He comes up and like, oh my God, he's not dead. He's like, oh, I just got like a wound here or something. Oh. It'll be okay. And he gets up there. Oh, he's like, can you fly? He's like, yeah, I can fly. Okay, cool. He's like, I just got a wound here. I don't batch it up. Claire, I need your shirt too. Oh, very funny. He's a pervert.
Yeah, he's a pervert.
And then he's like, please engage the autopilot. And they're like, okay, are you going to be okay? We got to go check on the passenger. He's like, yeah, he's like, you're going to be able to fly with one arm? And he's like, you'd be amazed what a man can do with one hand.
Oh, my God, Rick. Fucking give it a rest.
Oh, man. He's there to be sexual and crude, and that's his character.
Yeah. And he's played by the guy from Anchorman.
Yep. Yeah. And Sam Jackson sees that they all moved up to the top, and he's like, huh. Well, guess you had to do what you had to do. Which is funny, because before he was like telling you have to listen. Like, the prisoner guy's like, you follow my instructions.
Right.
Everything will work out fine. Just
right.
Follow what I do. So this little kid's just drawing a fucking snake, which I thought was very funny. I found out later it's the snake who bit his brother.
Oh, yes.
And the lady whose dog died is there, and she's all sad, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry about your dog. And then the adults are trying to keep the kids entertained. And Kenan's like, hey, I got my PSP here.
Yep. That must have been real new, right? 2006?
Yeah, pretty new, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I kicked this guy to dunk a basketball. Can you help? And this kid just like stare. Like, I don't think it was meant to be this way. I think it was meant to be like, Kenan's helping him. Like, his character is like a nice guy. He's trying to help these kids be comfortable.
Right.
But the kid just doesn't give a fuck. He's just staring like into the distance, like a 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah.
It's really funny to
me.
My
brother got bit.
Yeah.
But he's still alive.
I think he's the bit kid, actually.
Big kid?
The bit kid. The kid who's been bit.
Oh, yeah.
So then turns out the air conditioner's off. You know, a problem. The air conditioner's off. It's going to get hot, and it's not going to be a lot of air circulating, and things are going to get real bad really quick.
But if they turn the air conditioner on, it's going to make them cold, and they'll fall asleep.
Yeah, but the snakes also move slower and colder.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so they got to get it nice and cold.
Exactly. Then they'll all suffocate, too, because I think they can't get oxygen properly, is what is implied.
Okay.
I don't know.
I know that they're cold-blooded.
They got to do it.
Yeah.
So, of course, the breaker's in the cargo hold. And so he's like, all right. And he's talking to the pilot. He's like, yeah, I'm getting some alerts also on like the engines getting fucked up. So like, yeah, you got to go flip the switch. You go flip that, the cargo hold thing. And
right.
You know, hopefully it'll fix the air conditioning. And Clarence starts freaking out at this point, different area. And he goes like, I can get off this plane. I can get off this plane. And he grabs a gun.
Whoa. 3Gs. Chill the fuck out.
He grabs a gun from Sam Jackson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He'd like, probably be the only person.
He's like, I got to get out of here. And they're like, listen, man, if you shoot, it's going to create a huge hole. And it's going to suck us all out of
it. Yeah. Oh, actually, speaking of which, earlier on when Sam Jackson was fighting off the snakes, he was using his, tase.
Just tasing taser. Them. Makes sense.
And I was like, oh, that's a really clever thing to do because, yeah, you don't want to shoot in a plane.
No, you don't.
But 3Gs doesn't think about
that. No, he doesn't. Yeah. And so, like, Keenan talks him down. He's like, dude, you can't kill us all. I know you're freaking out. I know you're worried about this. This is a lot.
Yeah.
Now, I know the air is no longer circulating. And eventually Sam Jackson takes a gun. He's like, all right. He gets mad enough where he, like, pushes the blonde, like, flight attendant and everything.
Oh, no.
He's very upset.
I will say, this is really, I feel like, where the movie's starting to slow the fuck down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really losing its momentum at the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't care about this bullshit.
No, well, you got to have the interpersonal conflict, I guess.
Guess so.
That's why I'm like, the beginning, the part where you guys seem like the best part.
That
this
shit
is,
rocks.
Fine. There's moments of it that are good.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But they're a little bit more
far between.
Between at this
exactly.
point. Yeah.
So, the lady who was one day away for retirement dies.
How?
She was bit by a snake.
Yeah, she was bit by a snake. Grace.
She eventually dies. She's like, but... Before then, the mom was like, you saved my child. Like, thank you for doing this. Like, she's like, yeah, I guess you're right. And then she dies.
Mm-hmm.
Claire is crying. Sam Jackson comforts her. Is like, look, you could do this. We can go down. We can go to the cargo hold. We can get these people some hair.
Mm-hmm.
So they go do it. They make their way to their cargo hold. And she's about ready to go in with him. And he's like, no, you need to be my eyes and ears. And he's just like, you better be careful down there.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes the dumbwaiter down. He goes to the panel.
Dumbwaiter.
And tries to go inside of it. Clarence... 3Gs has a character development moment where he actually apologizes to the flight attendant. Says, I'm really sorry I pushed you. I was just
so
freaking
scared.
Out and
yeah.
scared.
Hey, man, I get it. Sometimes you're on a really long plane, right? And you're just like, I want to get the fuck out
of
here.
I want to get the fuck out of here. I can't believe there's all these freaking snakes in here. But they're all in your mind because you took too many drinks.
Yeah, you had. I mean, you know, they're small, but they're powerful.
They're powerful.
You haven't eaten that much.
Yeah, and they're probably, you got to get your $20 worth
yeah.
for whatever those
oh, yeah.
drinks cost. So Sam Jackson's like, looks like someone rigged the access panel to be open so the snakes could get out. He's like, oh, the levers are stuck. And then snakes start appearing. It seemed kind of quiet in the cargo hold, but now they start appearing. He's going to get them, but he attacks them. He's fine. He's trying to escape a rattlesnake. Meanwhile, FBI man and Dr. Price are trying to figure out like what they can do for Los Antivenom. Because how are they going to get all this antivenom for all these different people?
Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
I don't care.
Well, yeah, but
I care about snakes on a plane.
Well,
I don't care about how to get antivenom into a hospital.
No, we got to figure out how to get this antivenom because all these people are going to die when they land.
I am on the edge of my seat.
Well, so they have this whole thought about like, well, you know, we could find it from other places. We could fly it in. And it's like, well, why don't we just go to the person who sold all the illegal snakes? It's like anyone in Hawaii. It's like, no, they're in California. So they're like, oh, well, let's go find them. And then we can just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Give him the antivenom because he will surely have it if he has all these poisonous snakes.
Right.
And so, yeah. So they go and they find him. They track him down in the in his little barn. They start, the guy starts shooting at the FBI.
Yeah.
And he's like, the FBI guy like shoots him and he falls on the ground, on the ground and steadies himself back up on like a desk. And then one of his snakes bites him.
Whoa.
And he's like, oh shit. And so they're like,
good thing he has antivenom.
Well, that Dr. Price is like, oh, it's a desert black snake. You got to get some antivenom. He's like, yeah, it's over there. Can you get it for me? And the FBI guy gets it. And he's like, how long does he have to live? And he's like, oh, I don't know, like 7 minutes or so.
Mm.
He's like, well, you better tell me a list of every snake on that plane and all this. And he's like, okay, here's a list of snakes. He's like, do anything else? He's like, no, we just sprayed the pheromones on the flowers to circulate through the plane's air system.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, okay, so that's all you did? He's like, yeah, I swear, I'm so sorry. And he's like, all right. And then Harris gives the ejection or the antivenom to the doctor,
right?
The thing, and then Harris fucking gets on the phone and says, "Hey, control, tell him to ask Eddie Kim what preference he has: gas or lethal injection."
Ooh,
that guy just confessed on him. He's got another confession on him.
Ooh, another person that's testifying.
Another person. So they call for Harris. Harris calls him and says, "Hey, you all got antivenom when you come down. It's gonna be great." Like, oh, cool, everything's good. It's all up to the pilot now to get us down and make us land safe.
Right. The sexist pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as soon as they mention the pilot, I'm like, we should go check on him.
He's dead.
Yeah, they can't open the door.
What happened to him? How'd he die?
He got fucking another snake came and bit
another
him.
Another snake got him?
There's more snakes in there. So they open it up. They crack open the door. There's snakes all over the cockpit. And then Sam Jackson's like, oh shit, we don't even fly this plane or land it. Does anyone know how to fly this plane? And they're all like, Keenan knows how to fly this plane. He's got over 2,000 hours.
Oh, fuck.
That's
off
a lot of hours,
man. Shit.
What do you mean? Why are you so mad? This guy's a pilot.
He plays video games.
Yeah. It's not implied that he knew it. Maybe he got real flight time.
Oh, you think he did?
Maybe.
Is it true?
It's
yeah,
not true.
It is.
No,
isn't it?
You know
like,
he's going.
I know how to do it.
Mike, every stupid
PSP.
Thing, every dumb thing in this movie is going to happen.
I know. And it does.
It does.
It really does.
2,000 hours, though. If you were playing like an actual flight simulator on the highest level, you probably could figure it out. You probably could land the plane.
I don't think you could.
2,000 hours? That's a long time, dude.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of other aspects that just. Big in a video game, like
I mean.
Also, this is like early 2000s video game, like flight sim. Like I don't know, man. Like,
flight sims are pretty accurate, but yeah, you're probably right.
Back in 2006, was that accurate? Like I don't think
there were some pretty simmy ones out there. But here's the thing: he doesn't play any of the simmy ones.
He doesn't play any.
He just
simmy
plays
ones,
the fun
right?
ones.
Yeah, exactly.
So he says. So then Sam Jackson's like, "Okay, cool. That's a lot of hours. We'll figure out to do it." But anyway, enough is enough.
I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. Everybody strap in. We're about to open some fucking windows.
Fucking said it.
Open fucking some windows, though.
Open some windows.
What is he doing?
Is he shooting?
Everyone
is he shooting?
Fucking straps in. This is the stupidest part of the movie. This is the part where it goes stupid. It becomes not dumb.
Oh, it's stupid.
Everyone starts strapping into their seats or tying themselves to whatever thing they can find.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, all right, I'm going to open it up. And he opens up the cockpit and shoots a hole at the side of the plane. And then opens it up, and all the snakes get sucked out into the play into the hole. And I'm like, wouldn't that like crash the plane? Basically, like you can't really fly with a huge hole in the plane. It's small for now, and then it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And then he sneaks into the cockpit with Keenan.
Mm-hmm.
Keenan takes control of the plane. This is while flying with a giant hole in it, and the hole keeps getting bigger and bigger. And I wrote what a fucking stupid idea.
That's really fucking stupid.
It's really stupid. People are literally holding on to things and almost being sucked out of the plane. All the snakes, even the snakes from the bottom, like the rescue lifeboat flies out,
including
the big anaconda snake that flies out.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, and then Keenan's like, this is your new pilot speaking. We're going to do great. And he says some bullshit.
Okay.
And then...
he also says some dumb
shit.
He
says some dumb shit. And then Sam Jackson's like, okay, so like you do have experience. Oh no. He gets on the horn of air control.
Yes.
He's like, you have some experience, right? He's like, oh yeah. I got 2,000 hours. And he's like, yeah, would you guys join any squadron? He's like, yeah, I was in a squadron called the Raw Dogs or something like that. And he's like, wait, did you only fly in a video game? He's like, yeah, PlayStation 2. He's
PlayStation
like,
2?
PlayStation 2. I'm like, that's not even it. That's what I knew. I was like, this motherfucker's not playing a real flight sim.
No way. That's yeah, no. You got to be playing it on your
PC.
PC. Exactly.
The way.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, no. And he's like, you should relinquish the controls of someone who's more experienced. And it's like, we don't have anyone
There's
who's
nobody
more experienced.
Else. Yeah.
So like, all right, well, you got to go around to the side and land. He's like. Because all the runways are being cleared right now. And he's like, we don't have time to go around the side and land. I'm going to land right now from this approach.
Okay.
So you better get those fucking things quick, cleared out quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start landing, and it seems to be going okay. And then he starts going, this part isn't in the game. And they almost crash off the side. They almost run out of runway. And he turns it to the left, and he hits the brakes. It's all okay. And... They all,
what a relief.
Samuel
now
Jackson,
they have to get to the, what is it, the fucking
the Venom,
anti-Venom.
Yeah. And then Samuel Jackson says, all praises to the PlayStation. And then Keenan says, fuck Randy and his high score. That's my own brother. Fuck him. I'm better than him.
They totally put that shit in there for, like, the people making memes back in the day, right? Like, video games are cool.
Maybe.
Love
maybe.
PlayStation 2.
But this probably, it feels like a more of an important plot you can't just write in, you know?
Yeah, but, like, words, like stuff like that.
Sure.
Like, they probably made it even more important.
Yeah, I mean, well, they all talk about high scores, and I'm like, okay, dude, high scores? What are we doing here?
Yeah, that's fair.
I guess 2006, maybe they're still chasing high scores. Whatever. The police and fire department arrives, and also the anti-venom arrives with a doctor. Mm. Kid drew a picture of his brother so he can get the right anti-venom, which is very nice. That little,
I was considering that.
That little like, cobra snake or whatever.
Right.
He's like, yeah, this is it. Samuel Jackson saves a prisoner, and the prisoner's like, thank you. And then a snake fucking jumps on the prisoner right before he's about to do the little shoot to jump off the plane.
Oh, no!
And then all his blood flies out everywhere. And then Sam Jackson pulls out a gun and shoots him in the chest.
The prisoner?
The prisoner. And I was
Sean?
Like, and I was like, oh, shit. Does this mean he's working for Eddie
Kim?
There's
no way he's working for Eddie Kim. That'd be crazy if he's working for Eddie Kim.
No, he has body armor on, so he just killed the snake.
Right,
and he's fine. He finally got to use his gun.
Oh, yeah.
But there was like blood flying out, and I'm like, if there's blood flying out,
that was the snake blood.
It was, but when the snake bit him, there was blood flying out.
Oh, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't
make any
sense.
Maybe broke too deep. Anyway, so he shoots him in the chest. He's like, oh, it's fine.
Well, it's what is he? He's wearing a bulletproof vest.
He's wearing a bulletproof
vest. He's not wearing a snake-proof vest.
Ah, that's true. You're right.
Yeah, see, yeah.
You're right. Samuel Jackson gets the number of the Claire who helped him, and she's like, ooh, yeah, we'll meet later. We'll talk later.
He's
like, oh,
he's
cool,
like,
thanks.
I'd like to have my black snake moan.
God.
That apparently came out the same year as this movie, by the way. Isn't that weird that Sam
plays
Jackson
like
was in two
different, character.
Different movies that had Snake in the title?
That's true. I saw Black Snake when it came out. I didn't see this movie.
I've never seen Black Snake Moan.
The music in it's so fucking good.
I hear it's sad, right? It's like kind of hard watch.
It probably was. I was a kid, so I just like the music.
That's fair.
So I should have been watching Snakes on a Plane. I couldn't really contemplate Black Snake Moan probably as well
fair.
As I should
But
have.
You enjoyed the music.
Yep. Yeah. So then the prisoner guy gets the other flight attendant's number and they kiss.
Ooh.
He helped her once, I guess. And then
what about
the prisoner's
Ken?
Like,
is Ken going to wind up with anybody?
Fucking Ken probably died, I think. I don't see him. It's only the two ladies who are left, I think.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he just ran off. I don't know. And then the prisoner's like, do you remember the first thing you ever told me? He's like, what? Yeah, do as I say and you will live. And he's like, now you have to trust me and think that. And then they go surfing.
Ooh,
and that's the end of the movie.
Fun.
Yeah.
This movie's okay now.
Yeah.
It really started off strong.
There's
man.
Some good parts in it, but I think when, like, movies that have a really funny concept like this, hard to wrap it all up into a fun time, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, by the actual third act, I was like, okay, what are we doing here?
Can we just land the plane
the whole
already?
Anti-Venom side plot.
I don't care about
like,
that shit
about
at
that all. No.
Yeah, that's dumb as fuck.
It could have been a little bit of a tighter movie. I mean, it is pretty short still.
It is pretty short.
But it
could have
been a little shorter.
It could have been like a nice 98-minute long movie.
Yeah.
I looked up a bit about double-decker planes, or they're also called super jumbo jets. Aircraft fuel is one of the main concerns that airlines face whenever they fly a super jumbo jet. Apparently, you could have more people on it, but the more people, the more jet fuel that you'll be using.
So it wouldn't be worth the extra. It's like not as efficient.
Basically.
It's like driving an SUV for like.
Doesn't mean it's the most practical way to transport people. Even if the travel industry is rising, it's still difficult to cope with the rising price of fuel. They also said ever since the pandemic, there's been a lot of aircrafts that have been grounded. Many of these were double-decker planes because of the other reason, which is like more people on the plane is another thing. But yeah, practical reasons.
But they still exist. They're still flying them. It's just not very often.
It doesn't sound like they're still. A lot of them are grounded, it sounds like.
Wow.
Yeah, not many uses for them anymore.
Maybe better than using new Boeings, I guess. But you know.
Hey! Yeah, I like that a lot. So yeah, overall, I think the movie's just okay.
It's
fine. I think Sam Jackson's honestly killing it in this
movie.
He's
having a blast. He gets the assignment. He's doing a great job.
I read a bit. This is like IMDb trivia, so it's probably not true. But
here's some bullshit, guys. Hey, you sloppy ass, the other half listeners. Here's some bullshit that's probably not true.
Probably not true,
it.
But it's a very funny idea, which is apparently Sam Jackson's manager saw the name of the movie and was like, you need to change the name of the movie. This is fucking stupid. There's no way that, you know, my client is going to be in a movie called Snakes on a Plane. And Sam Jackson's like, that's literally the only reason I took the job. Is the title made me laugh.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
So he knew the assignment.
He knew what he was signing up for, and he does a great job.
Yeah. Apparently the movie didn't do very well.
What a surprise.
But it did okay. It just was under expectations. It cost $33 million to shoot and was $62 million, which is like, not great, but
that's
not
great. But also, like, was that shooting overall, or was that also the extra 5 days of shooting? Like, I don't know how much
that's a good point.
How much they put into that as well.
It didn't seem to hit the marks they wanted.
They really should have just waited. Like, I feel like if they had waited like a couple of more like years or whatever, they would have gone into the like liking things. You know, ironically, you know, audience people would have eaten this shit up. What's up, buddy?
I'm so sorry. I was looking at the Wikipedia.
Go ahead.
And there's over the plot, right? They're explaining the plot. And it says, A cat in the cargo bay, a couple having sex in the bathroom, a man using another bathroom, or the first one's killed. And then I saw a couple having sex in the bathroom was a link. And I was like, what does that go to? So I clicked
Mile
it.
High Club.
Mile High Club.
Can you tell me a bit about the Mile High Club, Ethan?
The Mile High Club is for slang for people who have had sexual intercourse on board an aircraft during flight, which, or while this usually refers to sexual acts in an airliner lavatory for privacy, a sexual act anywhere on the plane would fit the term.
Anywhere? The actual height like of the cargo bay?
I guess so. The actual height of the aircraft at the time the act takes place is not relevant. Sexual activity in a plane flying 10 feet off the ground would still qualify.
What? Who says that?
I don't know. That's what it says in the Wikipedia for the Mile High Club.
Oh my Lord.
An alleged explanation for wanting to perform the act is the supposed vibration of the plane.
Okay.
Some also people have fantasies, and it's taboo, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, it's all public.
Apparently, it was in a betting book at Brooks is the early reference to it, a London gentleman's club. In the 1785 entry, wait, they didn't even have fucking planes then, did they? Oh, it was in a balloon.
Oh my god, imagine having sex in a balloon.
Oh my god,
oh my
yes.
God. I am tired of these motherfucking snakes in this motherfucking balloon.
It says, years after the first successful balloon ascent. I love only 2 years after the first year. They're imagine. Like, we gotta start fucking up there.
This is like the best example of humanity. Like, we've just created
a new place to
flight,
fuck.
A new way of travel, and then it's like, I want to fuck in that.
Yeah. You get 2 guineas to receive 500 Gs whenever his lordship fucks a woman in a balloon.
Wait,
1,000
really?
Yards from the earth.
What?
There is no further indication whether the bet was paid or how the claim would be validated. But yeah, that's
the claim to be validated. There's 2 people in a balloon and 1 guy to watch. Well, a person in a different balloon watching.
The BBC ran an investigation whether sex on a plane was legal. Their conclusion was that it would depend on many factors, such as whether the act occurred in the sight of others.
Yeah, that's, I think, the most important part of that aspect.
So it's legal to just do it in the lavatory, I guess. It may constitute sex in the lavatory, which the public has access.
Lavatory, by the way.
Lavatory?
Yeah.
I'm saying
it's
the British
laboratory.
Way. I'm saying lavatory like the British way.
That's
British
not people, true. People they don't speak. Say it that way.
How do they say it?
They say lavatory.
No, they don't. Use your British accent.
Lavatory.
See? Same thing.
Laboratory?
I said
laboratory?
Yeah,
you did
lavatory.
Not, I did not say lavatory.
Lavatory.
That's like a German.
Lavatory.
Nini, get out of my lavatory. I'm having my nightclub sex.
Apparently 6-month term of imprisonment, so maybe worth it.
I don't think so.
Wow. Yeah. You wouldn't know.
I guess
I do, though.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You just jerk it off in a bath. Guys, if you ever jerked off in a plane, email us, dvillythereonpodcast.com. You can also face on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We are on Blue Sky. And we also have a Discord. Check out our Discord. So maybe we'll make a little Mile High Club on the Discord. You know?
Oh, yeah. You could join that.
Yeah, you can join the Mile High Club. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but we have one.
Oh, I know what we're going to do with it. you have to do age verification to get in there.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What I'm saying.
That's right. And if you want to listen to the episode where we talked about the Mile High Club for the very first time, you can find it on any podcatching app. It is the How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah.
Find it on any podcatching app, and while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it in the show no matter what it says, even if it is some kind of meme about this podcast, and then we end up taking those memes and then redoing the podcast so that it will feed into that sort of appreciation of our podcast and then end up not being that big of a success for that.
That's true. We've spent all that work for nothing.
Exactly.
Starting in 2014, a North Las Vegas airport-based charter company called Love Cloud began operating flights specifically for the purpose of using a pair of Cessna 414 aircraft for fucking.
God, that's so much pressure.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
right?
Just going like you spent all this money and then you're in the air and you're
I figured they'd have like better beds or something like that if you're like going up there for a reason. You
better
know?
Beds?
You'd have like beds up there, right?
I was going to say they're just beds in general.
Just beds in general,
yeah,
right? You'd probably charge a premium.
Yeah. That's so weird.
That's so much work though just to say you're part of the Mile
High
Club.
Up there. That doesn't feel right. I feel like there needs to be a level of, you know, mystique about it all, right? Like a level of seediness to it all.
Yeah, I think that's half the taboo and half the fun, right?
Yeah.
Because you got to be like, ooh, you're not supposed to be doing this. Because as soon as it's illegal, as soon as you like make it like okay, it's less sexy. It's just a fact.
Imagine just like, you know, you have to like going through fucking like all the steps you have to go through to get on a plane. Everyone's just like, these two people are only doing this so they can bang on this fucking plane, you know?
Yeah, imagine.
How many other people can be on the plane?
I don't know. Maybe it's a big orgy plane. Maybe it turned into that.
Imagine having a screaming baby on that plane. Good night, everybody! Yeah.
enough is enough. I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane. Everybody strap in. I'm about to open some freaking windows.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.